Today on VFN TV, we're going to continue the wonderful interview with Ron Latini talking about unity and a march changing America.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
And in that covenant, we basically outline some of the issues that are important to us. Number one, that we have come together, you know, that we believe the following, you know, tenets or guidelines. I'm in agreement with the following guidelines. Number one, that we have agreed to disagree on all issues beyond the gospel, but we agree on, all of us here, on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel statement, as declared in the gospel statement, that other doc. Number two, that I'm trying to think now. The I believe the other one was about keeping everything else out of our meetings, whether it be our gathering events and church venues or the march and rally, that everything else that we've agreed that we will not bring any other issues into our meetings. Then taking a step further, we further agree that we will protect the integrity of this movement by not allowing anyone, other groups, to hijack this movement from its original purposes.
What's that?
That we'll do our best to protect this movement as a gospel-only movement.
So everybody that's walking or marching signs that, or just
the
pastors?
Well, the pastors representing the churches, these are churches.
So these people that have to have a pastor to march?
Well, no, okay. but I'm saying for the churches that are involved, that are officially on board to march with us, we're not going to individuals, we're just going to the church families, that they have to sign that agreement that both they and their church are in agreement with that particular covenant agreement and will abide by it. That way, we can present the gospel once the march is over and we're at the rally point, wherever that might be, an outdoor event. In the case of next year, it'll be at Seville Square. That at that point, we can actually, at the end of all the pastors sharing, taking 5 minutes, prayers, music groups, a variety of host of the, showcasing the variety of the body of Christ, you know, and all of its different expressions. Once that's done, we'll present the simple gospel message that if anyone's out there, bystanders, people that have walked by and have been impressed with what they see and would like to meet the Savior that made it possible, that would give them a chance to accept Christ. Once they do that, rather than altar calls, we're not set up to do all that, but we can say, if you just pray to receive the Lord, congratulations. There are believers around you right now who will celebrate with you. You'll also find a sheet, and we'll have different info tables set up around Seville Square with a list of the churches that have signed on, that are part of this movement, that have agreed with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You let the Holy Spirit of God lead you to whatever church you feel led to go to. But this Sunday, choose, ask God specifically, and you go to that church. Get plugged in. Begin to grow in your faith.
Beautiful.
And that's how. And that's the way we could deal with that. That way there's no competitive spirit. You know, but we do have a chance to share the gospel of Christ publicly right there, outdoors, united, in full view.
I love that. You know, beautiful. So I want you to talk about this before we go. I want you to talk about J.D. Geer's book, Undivided, because on these spectrums, you know, we just barely touched before. I want to be able to talk about it because it's your church and racial reconciliation, and there are four spectrums in the gospel community spectrum, correct?
I would be happy
to. 5320, there we go, right here.
Yeah, J.D. Greer is now currently the president.
How can you come together and unify diversity?
I'll certainly explain that. The man that co-authored that study, it's a study out of Lifeway Christian Resources. J.D. Greer is pastor of a the Summit Church. It's a mega church up in North Carolina in Raleigh with several campuses. J.D. is, his heart is not only for racial reconciliation, but calling churches to get out of the political fray back to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So J.D.'s heart at the last convention is the very thing that's taking place, actually happening in Pensacola. So I've sent information up to him. I'm hoping that I can get in communication with him before next summer for that convention. But he wrote this thing called, this study called Undivided. And in Undivided, he presents what they call the gospel community spectrum. Mm-hmm. And there are four phases. When I read that book, that study, that was
given
we're
talking about racial reconciliation as far as the church, so
right, and within the body of Christ. Okay. And so I read that and I thought, my goodness, these four steps are exactly what we've experienced over the last 2.5, 3 years in the west side of Pensacola. When we first got together, we began to bring our churches together in this unity movement. The pastors were stating how their church members had never done that before.
Right.
And many of them were in ignorance of other cultures, other expressions, you know, of different tribes in the body of Christ, of how they worship and their culture, identity, the different, you know, the differences.
And the word ignorance has a lot of negative connotations. But
yeah, it's
you're
not
saying
that doesn't mean stupid.
Yeah, correct.
It means uninformed.
You just don't know about it.
Isolation, being isolated. Like I grew up in an isolated Sicilian, Italian, Polish community.
Right.
Isolated from African Americans, Hispanic, any other cultural group. So therefore, you get a sense of superiority and you look down on other groups or you fear them. Because you don't know about them. And there's always a fear of the unknown, you know? So what happened in the beginning was our people came out of ignorance. And in those gathering events, right before the march, we had several gathering events in different venues. They began to realize, man, they became aware, number two, of the beauty of a black choir, if they've never been in an African American church, the beauty of
it's the most amazing thing you'll ever hear. Oh my goodness!
Or the beauty of a Filipino,
Good.
You know, choir,
good.
You know, in their own cultural expression, or a Vietnamese praise and worship team, dynamic praise,
You know,
or an Hispanic man, that,
Hispanic,
praise and worship team.
Type.
Yeah, all these different. You know, we're talking music here, but also the different understanding, the different perspectives. That come together when they're giving their slant on the gospel.
You're becoming aware now. You're moving out of ignorance,
into awareness. Okay. Then from then we start seeing, after the first march and rally, not only was there an awareness, but there was a move towards intentionality. To say I'm going to be intentional about something basically means I'm going to make sure I do this. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to do it.
Right.
I'm not going to I'm stopping it. I've thought about it enough. I want to go ahead and do this thing now. And that's what intentionality is.
So once you're aware of it, now you got a choice, because no longer can you say, I'm not aware
of it. Okay. You know, I never had a black friend, really a good friend. I never had a Hispanic friend, never had an Asian friend.
An Italian friend.
I need to go ahead and I need to cross over that line and initiate a relationship. So we saw
What if you're not getting warm, fuzzy feelings, you're not feeling something, you got to feel something, or you just decide?
I think once you begin, and you see the Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit, like in the as the scripture says, the Spirit in you, speaks, connects to the Holy Spirit abiding in me, and therefore, you know, like when I was over in Indonesia on mission trips or over in Africa, Central America, wherever, you know, over the years, you know, you get with other believers, you may, even the language barrier drops because you can sense the Holy Spirit in that brother, and his language may be very little or very just as a few words, but you feel
very drawn, isn't it amazing?
You feel
it's
that
awesome.
Drawn, the power of God. So I think that intentionality was it was prompting people to. You know, I need to establish some friendships here out of my own comfort zone of being with people just like me, you know? And then, of course, that leads to the last step, and that is gospel community. And that's what happened when it culminated with marches, side by side. People were in stadiums, lifting up, singing Amazing Grace together. Suddenly, that first time it happened, in that first, in the football stadium, Escambia High, suddenly, it was gospel community, crossing over nine different denominations, crossing over racial and cultural division, even political. There were Democrats up there
and
from the African American community, Republican. But we let that stuff stay at the door. You know? And say, first, most important thing, I disagree with you on that issue. But brother, you're my brother in Christ. Like me and my, if your son hurt your feelings, your own biological son. You hurt my feelings, son. I'm disowning you right now. But you're no longer. No. We don't do that. As loving Christian dads, we say, I'm just in agreement with you on this, son. And I'm going to pray about it. But you're still my son. And no matter, you know, and so what's true in a biological family has got to be true in the family of God, because we are blood related through the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. We're blood related through Christ's blood shed on Calvary's cross for us. And so, you know, if we disobey his command to love, we're going against the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's stifling.
This is so powerful, what you're talking about these spectrums, because until you become, until you remove, I mean, if you don't know anything about it, and if you've watched this program with us, you know now. It's true in that, and there's people, and you saw the statistical study by Lifeway, that too many people were satisfied with not stepping out. And, you know, maybe you don't need that, maybe, but maybe your brother needs you to step out. Maybe their experiences in life is different than your experience, that they didn't grow up in the socioeconomic sphere that you did, but they had a less privileged life. But they're just as valuable as you are in Christ, and they need you. One thing we did at the Next Step Outbacks, we had, you know, men from every socioeconomic, racial, all together there. They're all in sweats and stuff, so nobody knew one had a bus and one had a limousine. And so, but they were getting affirmed, the young men were being affirmed by all these different men of the society.
Powerful.
And it just breaks all these mindsets. We have one man now that's in his 30s that went through one of those particular events, and he says, I was so filled with so much hatred in my heart towards white people.
Right.
And, but it was that experience with the cross-denominational racial men standing there and loving me, and
break
just that existence said everything I believed was wrong, that I am loved, I am appreciated, I am affirmed.
Yeah.
And that only happens when you take these intentional steps. Right. There's people that have been fed these narratives by the secular world all day long trying to divide them. They need the church to be the true narrative from heaven.
And the force that pulls them together.
So it gets fixed inside of them. We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
The Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I want to close with this of saying that the last thing you write about is this might be America's last hope.
Exactly. Can I share a story? At the end.
Okay.
A lot of people may not know this. At the funeral of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968, there was someone who watched that funeral and was broken and weeping, couldn't be there personally. His name was Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. The singer?
The singer, Elvis. Talking about the king, people call him. He watched that funeral, wept, he believed in King.
Yeah.
This is before the Elvis that got caught up in Vegas and died a tragic death. Yeah. But Presley at that time was getting ready to produce a 1968 comeback special on TV. Now, those of us in my generation remember clearly his TV comeback special.
Hawaii?
In 1968.
Oh, 68.
On TV.
Okay.
It was his comeback after making all these crazy movies.
Okay.
He decided to come back and get back in the recording again. And on that TV special, 2 months before King was assassinated, he watched that. And he decided, he and a writer named Michael Brown, to write a song that really meant a lot and would express the grief and the sadness of Presley about King's death. The name of the song was If I Can Dream. I went actually this summer.
Oh, no, serious.
If I Can Dream. I went on the summer and actually pulled it up
dream.
On YouTube.
Oh, wow.
If I Can Dream by Michael Brown wrote the lyrics. Presley made it famous. He sang that.
Wow.
He recorded it 2 months after King's assassination as a tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King. A lot of people don't know that.
No.
And the lyrics go like this. There must be lights burning somewhere. There must be lights burning. There must be lights burning. There must be lights burning brighter
you
somewhere.
You sound a little bit like Elvis.
Got to be birds flying higher.
Say it again.
The sky
again.
More
I interrupt
blue.
You. Say it one more time. Say it again.
There must be lights burning brighter somewhere, and birds flying higher in the sky more blue. If I can dream of a better land, where all my brothers walk hand in hand, tell me why, oh why can't my dream come true? There must be peace and understanding sometime. The winds of promise that can blow away all the doubt and fear. If I can dream of a brighter sun where hope keeps shining on everyone, tell me why can't my dream come true? Out there in the dark, there's a beckoning candle. And let's see, and if I can stand, if I can walk, if I can, I
go ahead, sing it.
If I can, I try to. Remember. Anyway, it goes. The end of it goes like this. Let's see.
Impossible.
Oh gosh, I just lost my. Anyways, the song was so beautiful, and I went on and I watched that.
Right.
It was he sang it as the last song at the end of his famous 1968 comeback special, aired on TV. Everybody at that time was watching it, And he was so different, because in the first part, it was all his rock and roll music. And no one expected him, at the end, to come out in this white suit and do this passionate song that really meant something.
Right.
It was the first time in a decade that Elvis sang a song that really he believed in.
Right.
And stated that.
Wow.
And when I was listening to that, while I was finishing up the book in Waxhaw, North Carolina, it just hit me that while I was reading the lyrics to Brown's song that Presley sang, I thought about the dream God gave me. Just 2.5 years earlier, about Christians in cities and towns all over America coming together like they did on the west side of Pensacola, with marches and rallies culminating on the same day across America, capturing the minds and hearts of young people all over this country.
Right.
Christians getting out of their comfort zone, stepping out of their buildings, uniting to show the power of the gospel. You know, and I thought to myself, man, if enough of us dream, like Presley said, if I can dream, why can't my dream
come true?
Or please let my dream come true right now. And that's
a lot of people don't know, maybe this generation doesn't know, that one of Dr. King's famous speeches is, I have a dream.
And that, the lyrics were based off that
speech. Yeah, I'm saying, but I'm just finding it out.
It was based off that. Go on YouTube and watch that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
we'll make it available to you right here. Yes, you can just
If I
below.
Can Dream by Elvis Presley. It'll come right up on YouTube.
That's awesome.
You can hear him sing. And it was before he took his downturn.
Right, yeah.
You know, Presley actually was born in Memphis, a poor southern boy in Memphis, Tennessee. He actually had a faith in Christ.
You could tell,
and was rooted in that.
He'd sing gospel when it was all over every day.
Yeah, he lost himself at the end. Yeah. But at that moment, in 1968, he was lucid and clear.
Right.
And he was on the right track. And it really moved, because, you know, during my era, you know, that he was a...
Yeah, so that's because he mixed banana and peanut butter. That was right. We'll be right back with my interview with Ron Latini. Be sure to comment below. We love to hear your comments, what you think about unifying, all this wonderful stuff. And also, don't forget to go to VFNKB Community and join the community. It's VFNKBCommunity.com.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. It's iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Our role and responsibility is to really set the tone and direction of society and culture. I tell people all the time that the movement that was led by my father was a spiritual movement. It wasn't a civil rights movement. It impacted civil rights, but it was a spiritual movement, and its assignment was to civil rights.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they work for others, and I believe they're gonna work for you. I wanna help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I wanna bless you with my book for free. That's right, I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about, it's free. Claim your book, don't wait a second longer, and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So I want to say this as we're closing here, is that, you know, there's crisis coming. It's here. There's two things going on, a big seductive thing that keeps you busy from seeing the problem.
Right.
But if you look clearly past all the chatter, there's things happening in the world right now with China and Syria,
right,
and Russia and Israel,
it's
and Iran and America
all
and the economy.
Up.
I mean, all this stuff is
and
happening
Israel.
In Israel, yeah. And yeah. So we're on the edge of potentially, you know, World War III, different things happening digitally and things
right.
going on, it's a different kind of thing. And that I mean, things are about to shift in the world as we know it.
Yeah.
But this could be the moment, because right before the Civil War
mm-hmm.
had the Second Great Awakening.
Yeah.
And it's almost like God brings in the harvest before there's a great loss of life.
Right. Yeah.
Because once you die, it's appointed once to die, and then the judgment.
Right.
And so this Great Awakening, I believe, is coming, is on the heels of what's going to happen, the crisis
in
the world.
That's my prayer.
Yeah,
that's
I
exactly
really believe it is.
I mean,
the Lord
has
given
exactly.
me some dreams about
yeah.
that happening. And so I want to ask you right now, have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?
Mm.
I mean, think about this, that this huge number of lives that have been lost in war, the tragedy, even the Civil War that took place in America, that was brother against brother over racial divisions and one person thinking they were better than another, but it really happened. It's true history. And our nation is so divided right now. And I can't tell you what's going to happen in the context. I kind of sense some things are going to happen. I got some prophetic brothers that are seeing some things. And some, you know, one Rick Joyner is saying specifically out of Morningstar Ministries, the Lord took him and showed him the future history of America. And it says America's second Revolutionary War, America's second Civil War mm. is going to happen. It's already written in the heavenly history books about America. And you can see that right now. The question is where are you? Not what's going to happen in the world.
Right.
Where are, because it's appointed once to die and then to judgment. The question is, do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior?
Mm-hmm.
Listen, He loves you.
Right.
I mean, all men are doing all their stuff, the fall of man. Men do crazy, weird things. But God, in the midst of all this, is saying, listen, I love you. I got a plan for your
Amen.
Life. Listen, I want to spend eternity with you, but there's one thing you need to do. You need to understand, I love you so much that I gave my son for you.
Amen.
Listen, I know you couldn't do it. I know you couldn't do it. I wanted to show you couldn't do it. I went history after time showing that people, I said, do this, do this, do this, but the laws couldn't save anybody. It couldn't. I wanted you to see that clearly so that when I showed up, and that was just a shadow of my son, I showed up to show you, I love you so much that I'm going to give my whole son for you. That's what he says in John 3:16. For God so loved you so much
Amen.
That he took his beloved son and let him be born here and walk as we walk, born of a virgin, to walk in this feeling of of temptation and pressure. I mean, your stuff's not unique. Jesus was tempted in every way, just like you were, I was, Ron was, but yet he did it without giving in to the temptation. He never sinned. And then all of our sin, the sin of mankind that ever was put on his back. God allowed the sin of the world to be put on his own son that he loved, so that the price of sin, because there's a price for it, is paid for by Jesus Christ. He literally took the sin of the world. And then he allowed the punishment of sin to come on his son. That's why he was crucified. That's why he was beat. That's why he was put on the cross. It's because of our sin. I mean, when somebody's going to punch you, he took the blow. He said, I will actually take that on. I love you so much. And then all of a sudden, he dies for the sin of the world. They put him into a tomb. Pat Hamilton and I were there in the tomb in Israel. Guess what? He's not there. But 3 days later, after being buried in the tomb, he was risen from the dead. God raised his son from the dead once and for all. Understand that he paid the price for sin. Now he was alive. He showed himself to hundreds of people, like maybe 400 or 500 folks, walked around, this is me, it's me. He ate some fish and grits with the disciples, whatever. But he's like, this is it. And then all of a sudden he started going up slowly. And the disciples are looking at him. He said, you know, further, he's going slowly. You know, God understands how we have to go. Okay, he's moving up, And then all of a sudden he disappeared in the clouds. And the angel said, why are you looking up? This same Jesus that you just saw is going to come again.
Amen.
And he's going to come again. He's going to come for a victorious church, a church that's walking in unity, what we're talking about. The question is, have you made the decision that you have to make, which is making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? Listen, you got to understand, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God, that he paid the price of sin, that he died, he was put in the tomb, he was raised from the dead. If I accept that reality, that he took my place, then I can be with him forever. He loves you so much. He wants to spend eternity with you. And in the book of Revelation, it says, every tribe, every tongue. Listen, I don't care where you are in the world, where you're watching this right now. He loves you. He died for you. And you can make that decision right now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If that's you, that's what I did. That's what Ron did. If that's you, I want to pray with you right now. Just pray with me. Pray with me right now. Dear Jesus, thank you, Lord, for dying for my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you lived a sinless life, that you died for my sins, that you were raised again on the third day, and now you sit at the right hand of the Father. Forgive me, Lord, where I've sinned against you and I've sinned against others, dear God. I want you to be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, guess what? You're in the family of God. We got a phone number. We have information on the screen for you. We have a wonderful packet we want to send you. Welcome to the family of God. And remember this. Let's pray first. So, dear God, we ask you, dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. God bless.
Amen.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.